In today's episode of Backpacker Radio, we sit down and chat with our buddy Data, hear a little bit about his AT and PCT hiking, and also the wonderful world of ultra running. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, Sawyer Products. Trance, did they send you some of that Picaridin goodness?
They did. They've got these little packets of like travel-sized Picaridin lotions. They're actually really good. I brought them out on the Colorado Trail, and one of those little packets, like super light, barely takes up any space, got a few uses out of just one packet.
I will totally agree with you. The wife and I took it to Crested Butte last weekend. I think the box comes with 7 different packets of that lotion.
Yep.
It's funny that we both started off with the lotion as opposed to the other options, because they do have a lot of different applications for the Picaridin, but the lotion was super easy.
I've used the spray too.
Oh, okay. I didn't. And I will say the mosquitoes weren't horrendous, but they were present. And as soon as we applied the Picaridin, they were a non-issue.
I was also glad because like the lotion wasn't like, it didn't leave you sticky afterwards or like, you know, it was like kind of nice.
It's a thinner lotion.
Because usually I don't like lotions.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me like apprehensive afterwards.
It's a good plug. A non-apprehensive lotion application.
Is that the right use of that word?
The lotion's effective for up to 14 hours. The spray is effective for up to 12. Oh, so we picked it because we're intuitive. We knew that we got an extra 2 hours.
There you go.
It's effective on mosquitoes, ticks, and even biting flies.
It's gear safe and won't harm your gear or equipment, which is really good because I melted my phone case last year using DEET.
DEET will fuck up your shit.
It will really melt plastic.
Yeah.
It's safe for use on kids as young as 6 months of age and even during pregnancy.
Don't rub it on your five-year-old because they might melt. Oh, is it months?
Six months.
5 months. Don't rub Picaridin.
Zach, why don't you just keep Picaridin away from kids?
Yeah. Okay? Just keep me away from kids.
Yeah. Let's stay away from kids for a while, Zach.
It's derived from piperin and peppers. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Maybe. It looks right.
So it's basically like putting a salad on you. You can find Sawyer products at pretty much any outlet anywhere in the United States, or visit their website at sawyer.com. Okay, to the show. Welcome to Backpacker Radio, presented by The Trek. This is episode number 14 or 15. That sounds odd, but I'll explain it in a second. I am your co-host, Zach Badger Davis. I am joined by...
Hi, I'm Juliana Chauncey, a.k.a. Chaunce.
Chaunce, this is episode 14 or 15 because... So I got a lot of content at Trail Days, and I haven't had any opportunity to edit it or even listen to it.
You've really been slacking off.
A heavy slack fest.
It's almost like
over
you
here.
Got married.
It's almost like I got married. I did get married.
What?
What a random lucky guess.
What a crazy random happenstance.
I know. Do you hear this?
Is that the sound of a $27 ring hitting a wooden table?
How dare you? It's $28.
Plus tax.
Yeah. Shame on me. I should have just got one of those silicone rings. Because apparently don't
climbers... Yeah, they have a checkout at REI.
Oh. They know their audience. Don't climbers lose fingers all the time because... their rings get snagged on rocks and then...
I wouldn't know.
You've never been married.
Guess not.
You've got 10 fingers. That's how I know.
Yeah.
So, I've got a lot of content from Trail Days. It'll either be 1 or 2 episodes. We shall see once I get a chance to dig in.
I'm kind of upset with you, though, because at the end of episode 12, we talked about how excited we were for our Baker's Dozen coming up.
I know.
And how we're going to do special things to celebrate episode 13.
It's funny that you remember that only because you spent the last, like, day and a half straight editing that podcast together.
True.
Yeah. So are you a baker by chance?
No, but I do make cheese.
Okay. Well, then
fair.
I guess 14 is the classic number for cheese.
Classic cheese episode.
Maybe Wisconsin was the 14th state. Someone will look into that. But we touched on my cool life thing. I got married.
That's all you're going to tell us about it?
I guess something relevant to maybe the people that have consumed more than one of these podcasts is a familiar face, voice, is the Real Hiking Viking. He was the MC of the wedding.
You didn't give him a microphone, did you?
We gave him a microphone.
Oh, God.
Begrudgingly.
Did you give everyone else earplugs?
It was a brave decision for us to allow him to fill the entire venue with his voice. But I think he pulled it off pretty nicely, except... the point in the night where there's the speeches,
right.
My mom gave a speech And she was talking about my hike last year, and she said something along the lines of, and I'm so proud of him. He hiked the PCT in 90 days. And Job interludes, he goes, 100. And there were like two other moments during my mom's speech where he's yelling out, like fact checking her during the middle of her speech. So,
yeah, well, your mom should have come prepared.
Yeah. In Job's defense, nothing. He was giving the correct information, but how dare you heckle my mom during her speech? But I think, you know, of the life events between the two of us, mine pales in comparison to yours. And it was so good that you wouldn't even tell me what it was. You said you wanted to save it for this exact moment. So I'm going to step away from the mic and let you do your thing.
I don't want to tell it.
You have to tell it. I can't.
I was all ready to, and now I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't know if I can even say it.
You probably forgot that you even mentioned it until you saw the
I read the show notes and I was like, oh God, that's happening tonight.
You are a chameleon right now because your face is the same color as your hair.
I'm slightly sunburned.
Data, are you buying this story?
No.
Okay.
Damn it.
You're outvoted.
Okay, I have a poop story.
We need some. Is there like poop theme music?
I don't know. You'll have to find that.
We'll figure this out.
It's a bad one too.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. God, how much context did I give? So this weekend, I went out to the Colorado Trail and hiked segments 4 and 5. So I went with my friend Kent, and he brought his dog with him, which is like this 18-pound Manchester Terrier. And me and Kent have been seeing each other for a while.
Ooh, going public with it.
Right. Well, this is the crucial. It's part of the story, so I can't not.
Okay.
So we get to this like break spot for lunch, and like sit down. Like he asked me to like officially be his girlfriend, and I was like, sure. So like I guess I have a boyfriend now.
Did you turn the same color that you are right now?
Probably. But like so.
Juliana, where'd you go? You disappeared into your hair.
Ha ha. So this like that part needs to be like predecessed with, because you don't get the true embarrassment of it until like you get the part where it's like, all right, just had that like nice little moment, you know, at lunch. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, that was fun, but like I've got to, you know, walk away from lunch for a minute and go take care of some things.
Follow.
So I, you know, grab my wet wipes and walk a safe distance into the woods. And he completely knows where I'm going, and like I know he knows, and like it's just kind of like okay. But he's like fucking with me, and he's like telling his dog Spork, like, go get her, you know? And so like I'm squatting doing my business, and like this dog's coming running at me, and I'm like, Spork, go back, go get him, go get him. And like Spork runs back to like go get him, and then like he sends the dog back. It's like a back and forth while I'm shitting, which is kind of fucking weird in the first place, but it's happening, and like all I want is this dog to go away. So I'm just like shooing it away.
I think I'm really like Kent.
And then, you know, he's fucking, I can hear him at camp. He's just fucking laughing. Like, he thinks it's hilarious. And so I go and I step away from my hole when I'm done. And now I'm next to my hole and, you know, pulling out the wet wipes to just do the cleanup process. And the dog comes running back again. And now I'm to the side of my hole instead of over my hole. And I see the dog running, and I'm telling it to go back, you know, run back, and it's not listening this time. And it's getting closer, and I'm, like, looking down, and I see the hole, and I see the dog, and I see the hole, and it's a little dog, so it's got little legs. And I just, like, all of a sudden it's a blur, and I'm like, did he go into the hole? Like, did his feet go into the hole? I can't tell. And I'm still crouched over trying to wipe, and this dog jumps on me and is, like, trying to jump up on me, and hit. All of his feet had gone in the hole. And so now I'm trying to wipe, and I've only got like 6 wet wipes total, and because I'm only out there for the weekend, and this dog is jumping on me, and his paws are covered in my shit. And he is wiping shit on my arms, on my legs, on my shorts, on my shirt. I am like, every time this dog is trying to jump on me, he is wiping more of my shit onto me. And I'm kind of like, I start yelling to Ken. I'm like, get this fucking dog away. And he's like, what? And I'm like, get the dog back. And then like, he calls to the dog, and the dog finally retreats. And I'm just sat there like, I haven't even wiped my fucking ass yet. And I'm looking down, and like, there's just streaks of my shit all over me. And I like only have 6 wet wipes.
Yeah.
So I take care of, you know, wiping myself first. And then I start going at the arms and the legs. And there's not enough wet wipes for the amount of shit my dog. Like, there wasn't even a lot of shit, but just like he got in there and just like was touching every inch of me. And then there was, you know, I had to go back to camp like to lunch, not fully cleaned because I didn't have enough wet wipes. So I go up to this guy that just asked me to be his girlfriend, covered in my own shit. And I have to ask him for his wet wipes so that I can then, in front of him, finish wiping my shit off of myself.
Well, and then the dog's still covered in shit, too.
Right. And the dog had gone back and jumped on him. And so he looked down. He was, but most of it was off. It didn't have any on him anymore because it had all gotten off his paws onto me. But like the fact that the dog jumped on him afterwards probably didn't make the best impression.
I think in some cultures, when you're both covered in one person's feces, that's how you get married. So you guys skipped a couple steps. So we're both like, married is what I'm trying to say.
Why me?
That is incredible. I applaud your bravery in telling that story to potentially 100,000 people.
I couldn't not. Like, it was too good to not tell, but at the same time, like, why me?
Well, all right, everyone. That wraps up today's show. Thanks to our sponsor,
jump off a bridge now.
Sawyer Products. Wow. Okay. I don't even think I feel bad for our guest who has to follow that story.
Yeah.
Wait, so are you guys still together?
Strangely enough, yes.
Maybe he's just really into that. Maybe that's why he's sending the dog in your direction.
Maybe he doesn't want me to know that he doesn't want to date me anymore because of that. So he's like waiting a week so that like I'm just thrown off the scent.
I have a little poopy buffer.
Yeah.
Throw off the scent. I like the pun.
You like that pun I threw in there? Good. I was going to see if you picked it up.
I was going on the spot and mine was worse. Wow. Yeah. No. Way to one up me. I got married and your story was approximately 100 times better. Or should I say 2 times better?
Maybe worse.
Okay. I'm going to take a drink here. I need a second to decompress.
Yeah, you take that one in. I've had all week to mull it over.
You really built that up. And I gotta say, it exceeded my expectations.
Oh, good.
So I'm just picturing you like in doo-doo camo, just like your entire
like
body.
Yeah, like still squatted down, like frozen, unsure what to do.
So there's so many logistical questions. Okay, we're not ready for the interview yet. So you used all of your wet wipes and then presumably a lot of his.
Yeah.
So what, did you guys just take a bunch of, what's the one that plugs you up? Is that Imodium?
What?
I got confirmation. Did you take Imodium to ensure that there was no more doo-doo happening the rest of the trip?
Well, no, but it was only like a weekend, you know? So it was like, next day we're done.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
I'm used to hiking.
I wasn't like a shitting machine, so it was like, that was probably good for the weekend regardless.
Okay.
But I just didn't bring enough to factor in scrubbing shit out of cloth.
Yeah.
You know? Like, once it's into your thermals, I was wearing my thermals because it was cold.
Did you burn those clothes?
But once it's in there, they've definitely gone through the washer more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're traumatized. Well, at least now that you've given that story, you'll be much more open to giving future poop stories.
I don't. Hopefully, nothing like that happens again.
Yeah, that's
ever.
Ever. That's a great poop story. And this serves as a reminder to those of you listening to submit your best poop stories to podcast@thetrek.co, and we are very serious about that. Okay, I'll let your face resume its normal color by getting to the next part of the show, which is an interview with our good buddy, John Data Harvey. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
He said that very NPR-ly. I'm a little bit ashamed that our guest has a much better radio voice than we do.
I'm getting replaced.
Yep. I'm just going to start calling you Chance, if that's cool.
Go ahead.
All right, so Chance, tell us a little bit about your background and your backpacking resume.
Yeah, so I've done 2 trails. I did the Appalachian Trail Sobo in 2016, and then I finished that December, and then I took a month off, and then I did a flip-flop hike last year on the PCT.
It's funny that you mentioned AT Sobo, because I know you in the context of a southbound through hike, because I've probably mentioned this enough that maybe this can start to become a drinking game too, but so I hiked the PCT southbound last year, as you know, as you both very well know. And that's where we ran into each other.
Yeah.
I don't remember where we first crossed paths. Oh, was it at in the way at Sonora Pass? Was that the first time?
No, we met near Castle Crags about a day before Shasta. And then you gave me part of your resupply box.
Oh.
Well, that was nice of you.
Yeah,
Zach.
It sounds like a nice thing that I would do. all right, so I'm curious, how did you get the trail name Data?
So I went with a new name on the PCT, Data. So I just would always estimate things, and then at the time, I just really liked to know what was ahead on the trail, mileage away. I was very calculated in how many miles I was going to do in the day in the very beginning. I had a very kind of well-structured schedule in the beginning, so people just started calling me Data, and my friend Dirt Squirrel gave me that name.
Throwback to episode
8.
You sure?
Yeah, because that was when Sawyer did their first sponsor ad.
If it's not something we've talked about in the last 24 hours, it doesn't exist in either of our memories. There was something. Oh, so are you typically very number oriented outside of the trail, or is this specifically like a hiking thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty well organized number wise. Like even with my running that I do now, I keep a running journal.
Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah, I keep a running journal of basically how my run went for the day, how I'm feeling. I have my Garmin watch all set up with all my data for all my trips.
Yep.
Data's got his data.
Yeah.
What was your trail name before Data?
So on the Appalachian Trail, it was Foggy. So my first week in Maine, it just rained nonstop. And it was literally actually the only time it rained on the AT for me. And I my glasses were so fogged up, I was just falling everywhere. And then my friend Wallaby called me Foggy. He was like, "Hey, Foggy." So I went with that for the AT and then just won something new on the PCT.
Interesting. So why were you open to – because typically people carry their trail names forever.
You know, it was just a new trails, completely different experience. And I was kind of open to it, but it just seemed so unrelated for me. And yeah. I just wanted something completely new.
Did you start off introducing yourself as Foggy? Or
no, like, John.
Like, aha.
Yeah.
Clean slate.
It was John for
new
I think,
trail
3 weeks.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you, Chance, you're going with new trail name on the AT, yeah?
I think I'm just going to stick with Chance.
So boring.
I know. I'm lame. Anyway, you hiked the AT Sobo in 2016, which we just established. That was a notoriously dry year, which I definitely knew without help from anyone else. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so honestly, like the first week in Maine was pretty rainy, but then after that, not a lot. It was pretty dry. I remember until I got into the Mojave section of the PCT, my longest water carry had been on the AT. It was I did a 24-mile carry in Pennsylvania, which was a lot. I mean, it was very dry, very dry.
Let me tell you how atypical that is. I don't even remember my longest water carry. Like, certainly not anything in a 20-mile range. I'd be surprised if it was much longer than 10 miles. By the way, I hiked the AT.
What?
Yeah. No way.
Get out. When?
Hold on, I'm too busy drinking. Okay, so then, and then obviously we also talked about this, and we didn't have to because we did this together, but you hiked the PCT last year.
I did.
And to contrast your, well, actually, no. So before we get into that question, I want to hear more about what it was like hiking in such dry conditions on the AT. Aside from a 24-mile carry, like what's, you know, now that you've hiked the desert section, and I guess the North California section of the PCT, how does a dry year in the AT compare to that?
Definitely going Sobo on the AT in such a dry year, like there was not a lot of good data for what water sources were available. So I definitely sometimes in the section of Pennsylvania struggled with that, where I'd have to carry a lot more than I probably needed to, because there was a couple times where I'd get to one source and it was dry, and then I always carried an extra liter because there's multiple times where it had been dry, and I get the next one and it was still dry. And there's a couple of times where my friends helped bail me out on that, but definitely like when preparing for it, they're like, "Oh, water's not an issue at all." So definitely I had to be cognizant of it, which was something that I wasn't really prepared for on the AT. But it was definitely a unique, interesting challenge that I was not expecting and gave me a pretty good skill set for the PCT later on. Hmm.
Quick aside, I think there should be a new amendment to the Backpacker Radio drinking game that people have to drink when our guest uses their own trail name, because he said Data in that response.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, right? I heard him say that.
So, I can get with that.
All right, so he's drinking. Chance would drink if she didn't have an ulcer.
Haha. You'll have to listen to bonus episode 2 to find out about
that. That's right. I forgot that they don't know about that.
I know. I intentionally kept it that way, that way my mom wouldn't hear that part.
That's it's not quite as good as the poop story, but it's in the same ballpark.
Yeah, it's just like it's it's oddly relevant to the podcast.
Yeah, super. So I guess you guys
don't are say
have to,
I never gave
gonna,
you anything.
You guys are gonna have to cough up that $1 if you want to hear it.
Where were we? Record snow on the PCT.
Yeah.
So there was record snow on the PCT.
Yeah, there definitely was. I tried really hard.
Do you want to give him a question? Other than
was
just
that not good enough?
There was. I saw a lot of snow.
I remember my first podcast.
All right. Well, so the AT was notoriously dry, mm-hmm. and in contrast, the PCT was notoriously snowy.
Mm-hmm.
How did that change affect you on a personal level?
On a personal level? You know, I don't know if it personally affected me at all, but...
You didn't feel personally victimized by the long trails of the USA?
You know, I felt it was ironic, but definitely it was interesting. It's definitely a major challenge. I knew going into it that there was a huge possibility that I was not going to be able to make it through. And I did end up not going all the way through. I bailed out after I went over Glen Pass, mostly just because I wasn't really having fun anymore. And so, yeah, I turned around and I think definitely going into it, like I knew I was like, there's probably a 50-50% chance that I'm not going to make it through. And I think going into it, that mindset, I was at peace with it. But definitely that section between Kenny Meadows, Kearsarge was just a wonderful experience. You know, it was challenging. I felt safe. But then after that point, I just wasn't as fun anymore.
Is there any part of you that wishes you would have gone straight through the Sierra?
You know, at the time, after I turned around and I had gotten back to Bishop, part of me was just like curious about it. But, you know, in retrospect now, after going southbound, going south through Washington at that time of year, I personally it was worth it. It was worth it.
You must have gotten almost the exact same weather that we had. I'm not sure how much we were separated, mm-hmm. but I think we got like a total of 20 minutes of rain through Washington.
Yes.
Which is like, you know, you contrast that with the typical northbound experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just raining and cold yeah. a lot of the time. So yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of advantages to going southbound for mm-hmm. sure. So I'm curious to hear more about how the two through hikes compared for you, because obviously one was really dry and then there's obviously really dry sections of the PCT mm-hmm. as well, but then like, you know, you go from the desert, which is also dry, to a point that where there's so much snow that you have to alter your plans.
Yeah, totally.
So how did
spit it out.
Yeah. I guess if you could just talk through how those experiences contrasted and compared for you.
Yeah, so definitely the elements and the terrain really wasn't that big of a problem for me on the AT. Like, the AT was definitely very rugged and very challenging at some points. But the AT for me personally was a major mental game for me. By the time I got to Tennessee, I was kind of burnt out a little bit. There was a lot of wildfires. I remember I kind of just barely sneaked out of the Smokies, and you could see Gatlinburg was on fire at that time. So definitely, like,
that's right. You went through the year Gatlinburg was on fire.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was crazy. You could definitely see it, and then there was no tourists there at all, and we were just kind of ushered out. So yeah, AT was definitely much more of a mental game, and I did love it. And that was a great challenge. And then PCT for me was definitely the elements really just was something I just had to face a lot with. Mostly the snow. But mentally I was in it like the whole time. I loved it. I loved being out there. Maybe it's,
do you think it's because you knew what to expect that time?
I think a little bit. I knew what to expect. I knew the mental game was going to be harder, and I think I could prepare myself better for that. But yeah, it was the elements which just really made it harder. And for me personally, that's why I felt the PCT was harder for me. It just in my experience.
Yeah.
So with the Sobo flip, did you end up hitting the fires on the north part of the PCT?
I did. Yeah, I had to miss. From Timberline Lodge to I think McKenzie Pass, and then I had to miss a couple miles of Crater Lake, and that was hard too because, you know, I really want to do a continuous through, but you know, going into it, I was just like, it's really hard to do a true blue PCT hike, and I'd run into that on the AT. I couldn't do the last, I couldn't do 60 miles. It was so weird because I'd gone like 2,100 miles of a straight line, and then I got to the NOC, and then it's blocked off. And that, so that was hard too, but like,
especially so close to the finish.
So close to the finish, and it was just such a minute section that I had to skip. But going through that too, I was just like, you know, it's fine. Yeah. I'm here for the experience, and this is part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's better than not this shit again, which I probably would have thought in my head.
So I'm curious. So you hiked the AT southbound and the PCT. You started northbound.
Yeah.
Which of those two, just, I guess, let's just segment off the desert section of the PCT versus, I guess, the beginning section of the AT. Which of those two would you say is more social?
Oh my goodness. The PCT was so much more social. Yeah. I remember.
Really?
Yeah. I remember I got, to Mount Laguna, and, the restaurant had sold out of food. It was crazy. And I remember trying to camp. I'd just never seen that many hikers before. Whereas the, AT Sobo, I mean, it's definitely a much more lonely experience, which is what I was going for.
Oh, right. The Sobo part.
Yeah.
Got it.
I was really like, I mean, you met some people, and it's kind of, it's not as easy to start at Amicalola. It's like, I had to fly to Bangor and then had to take a shuttle. And so like, I maybe started with about like four people and hiked with one of them for a couple of days, but really just kind of hiked on my own for a little while. And so definitely PCT was much more social. But between those experiences, I mean, I love the hiking community and everything, but if I do it again, I do prefer the smaller and more intimate group of hikers.
Sure. I ask because obviously there's a lot more people that hike the AT southbound than there are the PCT southbound, but I think that there's a smaller window for the PCT just because of the weather window in the PCT.
Yeah, it totally is.
Hike much faster, whereas it seems like the AT southbound window is like almost a month long, maybe longer, depending on.
Yeah, so I started in July. July 6th is when I started my Sobo, and honestly, I mean, the snow is like, I mean, Smoky is like, there are snow, but it's nothing like. It's all non-technical. Like, it's not like going like through the High Sierra and like, you know, an October snowstorm. You're not going to be crazy above tree level. You always have a hut, and there's always a route to bail off pretty close. So yeah, I hiked into December. I mean, yeah, it's cold, but it's, you can really go as long as you want. I mean, yeah, you can do, that's why, I mean, you can do a winter, AT Sobo.
Yeah. Especially through the south. It's
yeah, through the south. Yeah. It's much more forgiving. But whites are different in Maine. I mean, it's very challenging in the winter.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
So I heard a rumor of a story about you packing bodies into your tent like sardines in the Sierra.
Yeah. So I had the MLD Duomid, which I love. This is like my favorite piece of gear. And it was right after we got over Glen Pass, and there's a pretty decent sized storm coming in, and we were all kind of wavering on whether we wanted to go back out or continue on to Mammoth. And my tarp's very large. And so I was hiking with a group of probably like five people, and then we all just started being like, let's all go into Data's. Let's go into Data's tent, and we fit six people in there.
That's impressive.
I mean, it was cozy. It was cozy in there, but I mean, yeah.
We did that outside of Warner Springs. We fit the five of us. Chocolate Balls wasn't with us at that point. We had Courtney, but we fit the five of us into my Gossamer Gear, the one. Because there was just one night that like there was mosquitoes out, and we all wanted to keep hanging out. We weren't tired yet.
You mean the two-person tent?
Yeah, my one-and-a-half-person tent. We fit five people, and we're just like all sitting in there having a chit-chat.
As a throwback to your previous story, where you tried to convince your once hiking partner that the one was a two-person tent.
Yeah, I thought it was the one you needed. Sorry.
I could buy that. I could buy that.
Yeah.
So my experience with sharing a tent with a fellow hiker, I won't name names, Java. There was the issue of flatulence. Is that, you said it was a tarp.
It was a tarp. Were they hanging out in there, or were they like sleeping in there?
Oh, we're just hanging out. Okay. I definitely have slept with, I've fit three people.
Oh, he's definitely slept with.
We had three people in there in Washington. Yeah. Yeah. We hung out in there for a couple hours. It was roomy.
So the flatulence, not a problem?
Not a problem. You know, it's very well ventilated. You know, I know if I'm going to be sharing a tent with someone who does do that, I'll pitch it a little higher, get some ventilation, open the top.
Smart, smart man. So I won't name names, Jabba. When we were hiking the Colorado Trail, his tarp broke in a section where you had to use a shelter. We were the section between, you'll encounter this.
Yeah, where's my heads up?
Yeah, Silverton and Lake City, I want to say.
Why do you have to use a shelter?
Because it's like a 40, don't quote me on the mileage, 40 mile stretch where you're above tree line the entire time. You're like 12,000 feet the entire time. And the forecast called for a storm to come in.
Mm. Great.
Yeah. So the only option was to share my, luckily it was a legit two-person tent, Big Agnes Fly Creek. But once his tent, or once his tarp broke, I realized that for the next, at least the next 4 days, we would be shoulder to shoulder through a section.
Is that like protocol? Like if you're above treeline camping and a storm's coming in, like a tent helps? I get like the rain, but like lightning? Isn't that a big deal on the Colorado Trail?
Yeah, it probably doesn't, not going to do anything for lightning, but just the keeping you dry.
Yeah,
that's,
okay.
That's the big thing.
I thought you meant for lightning, and I was like in my head, like, but I don't, like, why would that help?
Yeah. I don't have an answer for that, okay. But I will say there were multiple times where I woke up through the night during this, we ended up sharing that tent for about a week, where I woke up in the middle of the night just to, because his farts were so potent. I woke up out of a dead sleep because I thought like a turd had found its way into my nostrils.
Oh my god.
All right, I'm sorry. I just had to express some PTSD there. Next question.
It sounds like you have some pent-up anger.
Yeah, no, we talk about it all the time. He owes me big time. That's why he emceed the wedding, is because he owed me.
You farted in my tent. Come emcee my wedding.
That was exactly how I pitched it.
Pitched it?
Okay, so I think it's been a minute since we talked gear, and given that you're such an analytical guy, I figured you'd have good answers for this. How did your big three differ between the AT and PCT?
Okay, so I use the same bag. I use the Hyperlite Mountain Gear Windrider 2400.
The Windrider is the one with the mesh?
It's the one with the mesh.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. I thought you had a burn.
I do use that now. I use a burn. I retired the Windrider.
How come you switched?
Well, the Windrider just kind of pooped out, honestly. Like halfway through the PCT, I'd take the frame out because it was just poking through. And then most of this, I didn't use a hip belt on the last part, not because I don't like hip belts, but like it just was ripping out the sides of my bag. So yeah, I switched to the burn. On the AT, I used a REI Quarter Dome 1. Mm-hmm. I used that solid tent. Worked really well. And then sleeping bag-wise, I used like this really cheap... I don't even remember what it was. I know it was Enigma. No, it wasn't Enigma. Eureka. It was a Eureka 30-degree synthetic.
Yeah.
Definitely by the time I got near the south, I was pretty cold.
Was it the Casper by chance?
I don't know. It was, I borrowed so much gear from my parents. They're super into like backpacking and everything. So I borrowed a lot. And then it got to start getting cold and I didn't really have the funds at the time to buy new gear. So, I used, what was my grandmother's 1970 0° LL Bean bag.
Nice.
How did you not get a trail name from that?
It has 32 ounce fill of down. It was, I think with the stuff sack, it was like 5 pounds. It was unbelievable. Oh, but I was so cozy every night. Yeah. Like all my friends, I slept in a t-shirt and shorts, even when it was like 10 degrees.
Yeah. It's like grandma's giving you a hug the entire night.
It was so cozy.
Yeah. She had the gym named Gatewood.
At that point, I was like, I don't know. I had like 500 miles left. So everything else was pretty solidified.
Yeah.
But on the PCT, I use the Mount Laurel Designs Duamid. I use the Orange Seal Nylon. Solid tent. The thing's bomb proof. I love it. And then I use the Enlightened Equipment 10° quilt.
Nice.
No, solid.
That's Chauncey's favorite thing in the world.
I still use it. Thank you. I used it this weekend.
I still use it. It's on the foot of my bed.
Yeah. It's dedication to your gear. Are you like subletting a place?
So I moved out here and I live with family. But since I landed a new job, I'm going to move down. I've thought about moving to Golden or Cap Hill area.
I'm in Cap Hill. We can be neighbors.
I'm in Golden. We can be neighbors.
No one wants to be your neighbor, Zach.
It's true. Actually,
married
that's not
people
true.
Aren't fun anymore.
We host pretty bomb parties. And
what? I have never gotten an invite.
Okay, you're invited.
I'd like
to
file
one.
A complaint to HR.
I would invite you, but you often smell like doo-doo, so...
Ooh. That is not true. That is not true.
Roll back the tape.
You're editing this one. I am never listening to that story again.
So, you know, you've been to a handful of the Thru-Hiker meetups that we host.
I have, yeah.
And you've mentioned before that you just like to casually go for a 30-mile run during the weekends.
Okay, wait. I thought you casually mentioned that you go for 30-mile runs each day. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, you're wrong. I can't. I don't have the time to do that. But yeah, I do run quite a bit. That's definitely something I transitioned to after thru-hiking.
After the AT, PCT?
Well, I've been running pretty steadily other than like a few injuries in college since about 7. I did my first race, and then I've been doing long distance running ever since. But I took it pretty seriously after the PCT. I try to run at this point like 7 or 8 during the week after work. And then on weekends at this point, I have a 30-miler scheduled for Saturday. I'm going to run up to Mosquito Pass and back down, and then I try to do like 10 or 15 on Sundays. And then,
what is it like through your head when you are running 30 miles? Because I get bored walking for a full day.
I was
going to
say, like, these are the questions of two people that do not run long
distances. Like, I'll run.
What is it in your head? What is wrong with you?
Well, because I'll go to the gym and I'll run on the treadmill for like a mile if I'm really doing well, but yeah. Like, anywhere from the half mile to the mile range, it's just like in my head, like, we should stop now. Let's not do this.
Is this
sucks.
Boredom
Let's
or
stop
pain
now.
Or what's your...
I think it's like, I don't think I've hit like the breaking point of pain yet, but I think my mind just cannot occupy itself from anything other than this kind of hurts. This kind of hurts.
You should try running outside to distract. I mean, I'm going to let the guy who actually runs.
Why don't I Data answer the question, huh?
Data, let me step in here with my 4-mile run yesterday.
Yeah, so what is it, like, what goes through your head during that? Do you have breaking points? Is it just like...
Yeah, there's definitely, depending on where I run, there's definitely a sequence of events that usually happens every time. My first 3 miles in my long runs are generally not very comfortable. It takes me about 3 miles to get into a groove. And then I start to feel tired at around, like, 15 miles. That's when I get my first, like, kind of like, my legs are a little sore. And I usually eat something. And then after 20 is when I'm like, wow, I'm kind of like, my legs are kind of really getting sore. And then after like mile 25, you kind of get into this weird zone where you just, I don't know, get really in tune with your body. And it doesn't always happen, but then you kind of get in this little blissful state of just feels good. And I mean, the important thing for running that far is I can't be at the gym. I can't be downtown. I drive sometimes two and a half hours to go run at a specific place. Like, some of my go-to, my family has a cabin in Fairplay. So I run a lot from Fairplay up to Kite Lake near Democrat, Lincoln, Cameron, and Bross.
What kind of elevation gain is that?
It's not too bad. It's pretty slow. So I start out at about 9,500. And then
it's not too bad. I just casually start out at like nearly 10,000 feet
and
of
then,
elevation.
I think Kite Lake's like 12 something. So I usually run up a little bit up Democrat, especially now there's the snow's kind of melting a lot. Yeah. So yeah, got to be somewhere beautiful, which helps a lot. So, and also I listen to some podcasts and music, and there's been some pretty hype album drops lately. So. Oh.
Yeah. Pretty hype.
He's the hype type.
Yeah. Jinx, drink.
You got to follow Backpack Radio on Instagram to get that reference. It's funny. You're saying like, oh, it's not that bad. I start out at 9,500 feet. I had the in-laws in town, obviously, for the wedding. And they drove up to Pikes Peak. Granted, this is 14,000 feet.
Yeah.
But, like, they were saying that they were going delusional. Like, they couldn't think straight. One of them got so nauseous that she thought she was going to throw up violently everywhere.
You're really nice to your wedding guests.
I didn't force them to go to Pikes Peak. That was their own volition. But yeah, it's just funny to hear someone say, oh, it was just 9,500 feet.
Yeah.
Like,
topped off at 12K.
Yeah. The highest point on the ATs, 6,500 feet, 66.
Klingman's down. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Wild.
Yeah, it definitely takes a while to get used to that altitude, but
So when you were on trail, were you ever like hitting points where you're like, eh, I'll just run this day instead? And then like you finish the day at like 10 a.m. and just sit there?
I definitely did run on the trail. You know,
what was your base weight?
Gosh, I don't know. I want to say on the PCT, like in Washington, it was probably like 9.5 pounds, something like that, 9 or 9.5.
Wow.
But yeah, definitely when I had no food left and I was going to town, I'd run for sure. But I normally just try to keep a consistent clip. I was always kind of worried about injury. So I was always pretty careful about that. But
so like during times that you did run, what do you think your biggest mile day was?
When I ran?
Well, I mean, in general, I'm sure the running part helps.
But it's mild. I did 53 in Washington.
Casual.
I went.
Where in Washington?
It was the last. It was 53 miles out of Cascade Locks. I did it with a couple friends. We it kind of came as a joke. We were like, what if we just did this?
Wait, out of Cascade Locks or in the Cascade
Locks? In the Cascade Locks. Got you. Yeah, in the Cascade Locks.
That's a pretty horrific section, if memory serves. Like, that's, there's a lot of elevation. There's, I feel like I remember two big climbs, and then you kind of did like the last whatever 10 miles or all downhill. But
see, I remember that 10 miles because that was the climb.
Yeah,
for
you're
me.
Going up, right?
It was decent elevation gain and loss. Honestly, the last part was the hardest. My quads were so shot at that point that going 10 miles downhill was just it was pretty tiring. But
53. What time do you get into town?
So basically it wasn't a planned thing. We were kind of just hanging out on the trail. Like, let's just go to Cascade Locks. Let's just do it. So I hiked through the night, and then I got in the Cascade Locks. I want to say at like 7 a.m. or something. And then,
do you not go delusional? Like, I feel like the combination of pushing your body that far and not having sleep would make me go crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you get into a pretty interesting headspace of like, kind of a little wacky. Things are pretty ridiculous at that point. And I just, it's really funny. You're just like, why am I doing this? I don't know. That's also the reason why I run ultras, is because I like getting to that mindset of just really pushing to what you possibly can. I'm not by any means like a high caliber, like elite athlete, but I just like to push it. And that's why I chase those feelings.
Do you chase the feeling? So is there euphoria of getting to the 50-mile point, or is it pain and confusion? Because that's what I imagine. Like, my biggest mile day was 46, and the end of it for me was not pleasant. Like, I obviously felt very accomplished after it was over, and the next day, like, it was cool to have that bragging right to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But while it's happening, I'm not I don't feel like I'm chasing that feeling. I feel like I don't want to experience that feeling.
I've had maybe like, I don't know, maybe 12 moments in my life of like running and like hiking and experiencing that feeling. It doesn't always happen for sure. Things have to click. You just have to be, your body has to be in the right condition. Weather has to be right. The mentality has to be right. But yeah, that's why I do it, is to chase those feelings. Cause when you do experience it, you just feel like you're gliding. You're not tired. Everything's functioning in perfect harmony. And it's just, it's almost indescribable, really. And that's why I do it.
Have you ever tried alcohol?
Well, you know, yes. But I feel the payment for afterwards is a lot worse with alcohol than running.
Whew, I don't know, actually. I can at least move after a good day of drinking. 14-hour day of hiking, I'm not sure I feel the exact same way. So a good segue John's like that. A good segue from what you're just talking about. I'm curious how ultra running. Let me try talking again. How ultra running and through hiking compare? Like, what is there a lot of overlap in your opinion?
I think there is for sure. It's just a little bit faster hiking at some point, especially at an intro level. I'm not moving particularly fast. Like, I don't know, probably like 11 minute miles or something, or 12 minute miles. There's strategic hiking. Like, I don't run every single second of the race. You just can't. You have to be strategic with how you're using your energy. fueling during the race, like I think about meals. I bring meals, like, and it's very similar to what I eat on the trail. Like, I usually have an avocado when I'm out on a trail. I love Oreos, so I always pack those out.
Too, like,
you're at both ends of the spectrum there, because when he said avocado, I'm like, oh, good, this is a health nerd. And then he said Oreos, I'm like, no. Oh, good, he's a fat kid just like me.
Yeah, I just... and also just packing light, like packing what you need. So there's definitely... It's like super, super, super ultralight hiking, and not always camping out, because, I mean... I am interested in doing like camping out and doing longer runs, where it's like a 2-day thing. But I think those are where the similarities are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So given that you like through hiking and you like ultra running, have you ever thought of like doing an FKT type thing?
You know, I've thought about doing a couple loops, not really necessarily going out with the mindset of like, I'm going to set an FKT. But more like personal goals where I like, you know, just would like to see if I can do it. I've dabbled with the idea of just trying to do a 2-week Colorado trail through. Not unsupported. I'd like to be supported because it just doesn't interest me doing the unsupported. I've also liked the idea of trying to do the Collegiate Peak West Loop. Nice. Running that would be really fun.
Well, if you do decide to FKT the Colorado Trail, you should definitely do it like this fall, because no one else good is trying to do it this fall. So you'd have a really good opportunity to do it.
It all depends with time off work. But that's definitely some things I have planned. And the long shot that I'd love to do is I'd love to do Nolan's 14. It would be great. And definitely do that supported.
Do the what?
Which is
Nolan's
that?
14.
Unfamiliar.
We're both like nodding, smiling, yeah, and then you finish and we're like, what?
Nolan Ryan is a great pitcher.
It's a route. It's 14-14ers through the Swatch. And the goal is to do it in 60 hours. I don't know if I do it, but like, I'd like to just attempt it and do that.
Is this a organized race, or is it you can do it anytime?
No, they don't really. There has been some organized races before, but a lot of times it's just a route that you just go out and do. Gotcha.
Thomas has a question.
Zach is controlling the teleprompter today. getting back to the ultra running versus through hiking comparisons, which elicits worse chafing?
Oh, running. Without a doubt. Yeah, there's some serious chafing that goes on, and it can really ruin a run and force you to walk, to be honest. Like, yeah.
There was one time on trail where it was in the desert. This is the only chafing knowledge I have. It was in the desert.
You only chafed once?
Oh, I didn't chafe at all on the trail.
What?
No, I don't know the feeling.
It was debilitating.
Is this like girls don't poop, girls don't chafe?
No, girls chafe. I didn't. But there was one time in the desert, the guys started talking about it for a while, and I was like, okay, like, personal problems, guys. But there was one time where I'm always last in the hiking train, but I had turned a corner by this little fence gate, and saw one of the guys, like, out, like, sat down on his Therm-a-Rest, like, his foldable Z-Lite, behind a bush in only his boxers. And I, like, turned the corner, and I was like, what you doing there, buddy?
Having a moment.
He was just sitting there with his legs spread and like, why'd you have to take off your shirt? But only his boxers. And he was just like, the chafing is so bad.
I don't want to speak for Data, but I can certainly say for myself, I've been there. It is miserable.
Huh. Was this in the desert?
Yeah, it was in the desert.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's tough.
I actually had it way worse on the AT. I guess it makes perfect sense because it's humid. So humid, you're sweating so the humid. Entire time. Yeah, and I'm a very sweaty or very salty sweater. Like, I leave just some sweat rings all over everything.
Desert's dry, though. It can hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, desert's dry, Zach. What's your excuse?
You were there in October.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach, what's your excuse?
We had like one hot day through the desert in October. This episode is just like a giant brochure for Southbound Thru Hiking. Because it was perfect. It was really, really great. Okay. Given Chance's intro to the show, we're curious, what's your best and or worst poop story?
Best and or worst. Okay. So I was walking.
This is the perfect way. This is how every good story starts.
Yeah. So probably one of the most awkward situations I had was I was hiking through on the Blue Ridge Parkway through Shenandoah National Park, and I remember I was just moseying along. It's beautiful. It's starting to be fall, and I come up to a gentleman probably in his, you know, maybe late 60s, in a cowboy hat, just really nice and formal, just pooping right on the trail. And the strangest thing was I tried to avert my eyes, but he just locked eyes with me.
What's with the AT and people locking eyes and poop circles and
I don't
things
know.
Like that?
And then throwback. I remember all I could say was, "Sir?" Just asked the question. He said, "It'll just be a moment." And I remember I just turned around, and then he said, "Okay, I'm done," and just walked off. And it was so weird. It was so weird. God. It wasn't even that close to a road, so I don't know what he was doing. And it was just, he honestly did not care. I passed him, and he was just like,
"What a way to go through life."
Just didn't even acknowledge.
Did he at
like
least dig
happened.
A hole, or was he just like, "I'm
no.
shitting on
no,
the trail"?
Just right smack dab.
So like
in
he
the
walked
trail.
Away, and you had to then like go step over it.
I gave it a wide berth.
Weird.
Yeah.
I am disappointed in you that I had to go through that shame in the beginning of the episode, and you just pawned off your poop story on someone else.
I was gonna say that's a brilliant move. Right
like
there.
That was really smooth.
For your best
however,
poop story to belong to somebody else. Here's the twist: is it was actually him.
Ooh.
This is an M. Night Shyamalan twist. That
yeah.
he was actually
Data meets Foggy on the trail.
I will say that probably the most embarrassing story with me that does have to deal with pants. I did. I walked with a giant
with
hole,
pants.
Like shorts. I walked with a giant hole in my shorts for 1,600 miles. I never fixed it at all.
Just like the extra breeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much. I tore
this,
it in Washington.
Is it a junk hole? Is this a
yeah?
Rear
which
hole?
Side was this hole?
It's a junk hole.
Junk hole.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were
yeah.
wearing underwear, right? Because you're not in prison right now, I'm just assuming.
No, I had a has a liner
got
in
you.
It.
Okay, that counts.
But as I got down the trail, I remember I'd go to stores and they'd be like, "Man, you really need some new shorts." And I'd just be like, maybe, and then I was like, "It's almost over.
Yeah.
It's almost over."
So the rain pants I used on the PCT were Montbello. I think they're the only company that does this. So kudos to them. They have convertible rain pants, so they zip off at the knee. Because obviously you need something to wear when you're doing your laundry. And like wearing your full rain pants in 95 degree temperatures when you're in town is horrific. So that was part of the reason I chose these pants, is because they zipped off. But obviously you're not wearing any underwear. So you have to be careful about how you sit down. Luckily, the zip-off point's right around the knee. And I'm going to leave that there because there's... I'm glad that Job was not our guest today, but I will say that you can get into a peculiar situation with that information. Also, in a future episode, we should talk about the time that I hiked with the kilt on the AT.
No
you
way!
Did not.
I did.
How long?
Actually, so this is a perfect segue from the chafing conversation. I switched to that because I was told that you get better airflow, you're less likely to encounter chafing. Yes to the airflow, no to the chafing. If you're sweating a lot, chafing's an issue regardless. So I switched to a kilt. I don't know how most people do it, but I did it sans underwear. And that is just a really bad idea. That is I didn't do it for very long. It was a couple hundred miles. And it's a bad idea because it's way too easy to put yourself in an illegal situation. I'll leave it at that.
Where did you get the kilt? Did you order it? Like, was this
no?
A-
you can at the time, at least, you could buy this. I got it at either one of the outfitters or the outfitter in Harper's Ferry. You know what I'm talking about? The main drag there.
I spent a brief time in Harper's Ferry. Okay, but how long did this phase last?
It was not long. I switched back to shorts, I think, in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Do you still have the kilt?
No, definitely not. I don't have anything that I owned on the PC or on the AT, just because it smelled so awful. I remember I sent my backpack home. My parents, I forgot what the exact quote was, but I was lucky that they let me back into their lives after that, because I smell like a sewer. Okay, well, that I don't have any questions for Data. If you're out of questions.
Oh, you don't have any more embarrassing questions to type on the doc for me?
Well, we'll get there. You know it's coming. Two of us know it's coming. Okay, but before we get to Dana, so thanks so much for...
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, this is great.
So this is the part of the show where we go through some Trek propaganda. And the one article I'd like to touch upon is actually something written by a former guest, Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
She wrote a phenomenal article touching on the importance of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The title of the post is "The 50-Year-Old Pot of Money Supporting AT Could Disappear." And Chance is doing fun things with the notes right now.
I'm copying the link so that I can follow along. Crazy.
So for anyone listening who's not familiar with the Land and Water Conservation Fund, the quote in this article, and you know, I've heard this, and so I listen to the Meat Eater podcast a lot, and this has been like a hot topic over the last couple months, is it's the America's most important conservation and recreation program, which has funded projects in every county in the country, over 40,000 projects since 1965. A little bit more about it. It was introduced by JFK and later signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964. The annual maximum budget can be up to $900 million in royalties, which come from offshore drilling and leasing. So it's kind of confusing how the funding of this works. The money comes in royalties from the drilling and leasing, and then it gets put into an account, which are deposited into the Land and Water Conservation Fund and given to federal, state, and local entities in all 50 states in the form of grants. The premise is to, quote, use revenues from the depletion of one natural resource, offshore oil and gas, to support the conservation of other precious resource, our land and water. The spin on this article was it was written specifically about how it impacts the AT. So if you're interested, you should definitely check out the article. Like I said, we'll link to it in the show notes, as we always do. The title, again, is 50-Year-Old Pot of Money Supporting AT Could Disappear. But I think, you know, even more importantly is the scope of the impact that this thing has. Like I said earlier, think about this. It's been used in every county in the United States. Like, that's if ever there was a recreation and conservation project that had impact, this is it. So if you want to learn specifically how this fund is important for the Appalachian Trail and or how you can get involved to help save it, because apparently there's risk of the funding for this running out come September, I believe it was. Definitely check out the article. And like I said, I listened to the Meat Eater podcast, which is excellent, hosted by Steve Rinella. I highly recommend episode number 116, which features an interview with Senator Martin Heinrich of, I think he's the senator in New Mexico. And they touch on this and a couple of other conservation issues in the Senate. To bring it back to Goofy Town, are you with us here?
Mayor of Goofy Town here.
Okay, Dana, you're on in a very opportune time because
yeah, you've got us at a good moment.
Yeah,
Zach, what happened last night?
So last night we reached our 100,000th podcast download.
Ooh.
Oh wow!
Oh shit, that's huge.
Yeah. I messaged you back today and I was like, "Is that a big number?"
Actually, I think it's no a big idea. Number.
I don't
That's
know.
Real.
That could either be embarrassingly small.
Yeah. I was like, are we hyping this or are we just like closet enjoying
the
it?
The only thing I know is 100,000 is a big number. Like if you make that much money in a year, you're fucking rich.
Yeah.
So we have that many podcasts in a couple of months. So
podcast downloads.
We're rich in ears. Because I mean, if you think about how many ears we're reaching, it's 200,000.
Oh yeah, double it.
Although I guess I'm making assumptions that all of our listeners have 2 ears.
Oh, yeah. We also already established that we already assume that everyone only listens once.
That's got to be a fact.
Because then they get turned off and they don't listen again. So these are 100,000 individual people.
Dana mentioned, I think maybe just to me pre-show, that he listens to the podcast. You'd listen to just one, right?
Yeah, only one.
I'm going to go with, it was probably Dirt Squirrel.
Or no, I've listened to them all.
Okay, so we found the one person
he
on the planet.
He averted eye contact.
Yeah, I know, he's lying.
Yeah.
But we're going to take him at face value here.
Well, he has 2 ears.
This is true. Mm-hmm. He's in our 2-year demographic.
Right.
Our thriving 2-year demographic. So in honor of our 100,000th download, we're introducing a new segment called Keep It 100.
Say it with like a hip.
Keep It 100?
Perfect.
I mean, in all honesty, because Chance and I are so incredibly not hip. we had to look up what that meant. I see the 100 emoji all the time, and I don't know. I just thought like 100%.
Yeah, like I've given all my effort.
Yeah, like guys, I'm a real go-getter, and I didn't leave anything on the table. But
aced this one.
It's actually not really close to what it means.
No, we looked it up on Urban Dictionary.
Yep. Do you want to read the definition?
Yes. On Urban Dictionary, it says that to keep it 100 means to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, a.k.a. keep it real, or be honest with yourself as well as others.
So in honor of keeping it real, we thought it'd be fun to put our guest on the spot and play a little game called Truth or Dare, but not dare.
So truth or truth?
Truth.
Just, yes.
Just truth.
Just truth.
Truth.
We're playing truth.
Truth. Okay.
You're going to keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Oh, that's how you say it. Yeah. Dana knows.
Keep it 100.
He's the hype type.
Yeah. Hype type.
All right, Chantal. No, I'm going to
You wanted that one.
I do want this one.
All right. Oh, gosh.
And so the premise of this is you have to answer 100% honestly. 100.
100. Oh, and it's also like semi-rapid fire. So like.
Yeah. But
no time for like elaborate thoughts unless they're absolutely needed.
Although I do kind of want an elaborate thought on this one, or at least a little bit of reaction.
Let me know which one's okay. You want to elaborate
Zach's
on.
Zach's curious on this one, I suppose.
How many hookups have you had on trail?
One. That's all.
Zach, why are you so interested in this?
I just think it's a fun conversation.
Okay. So.
Oh, that was it. It's your
turn. I thought you wanted elaborations one.
No, that's all I had.
Okay. Next one. Honest first impression of Jabba. Zach wrote this one. Sorry, it sucks. Honest first impression of Jabba.
Intense.
Good.
I like that one word. Actually, no, this is one where I want elaboration. So we need like a button to declare elaboration.
Okay, I'll elaborate. I met him. I was hiking along at a nice leisurely pace, probably like, I don't know. Around 7 p.m., about closing time for hiking, Jabba comes storming through. I remember I shifted off the trail, and he just was like, and I was just like, wow, I've never seen someone just hike between a jog and a brisk walk. And I remember I saw him at the last water, and then I remember I was behind him for a while, and then I had no idea where he went. It turned dark, and then it camped, and I was just like, where did this man?
That makes a little more sense. I was like, why did Zach put this question? Bit weird.
Now I am remembering the first time we crossed paths, because I actually remember him saying that he was impressed by how, because he this is funny that I'm giving this away. He like had made it his goal to hike away from you guys, because like he was in like hike hard mode. I think he had a bunch of that
green powder.
Not green powder. Mio.
Okay. Think.
Yeah, it's kind of like taking over on trail. It's the perfect hiker energy source.
Great for making snow cones in the Sierra or Washington.
Totally. Ooh. Good call. But because we had like a, I think he was trying to catch up with me at that point.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so he was trying to do like 45 to 48 miles. So he was in like super go juice mode. And I remember him telling me later that he had hiked with you guys for a little bit. And he was taken aback by how long you were able to keep up with him, because he really prides himself on being able to hike like at like a freakish pace, which is true. Like when he's in his go mode, you don't want to be dabbling with that. So thank you for taking me down memory lane there. That was fun.
No problem.
So which one of us is capable of completing the cinnamon challenge of the two of us? Chant and I.
Chant.
Yes.
Chance.
Interesting.
Look at
interesting
that. He's got faith in me. I appreciate you.
Mm. Well, if you,
why? Wait, can we get a why?
Has this been attempted?
Well, since you're a guest, we'll tell you the answer off air. But for anyone listening to this that does want the answer, we both do this in the most recent bonus episode, and one of us actually does complete it.
You complete? Wow. I didn't think that was possible.
Did you notice that he looked at me when he said you completed it?
Yeah, but do you notice he said that he thought I did it?
Yeah, but he clearly changed his mind based on...
No, I'm 100%. Believe the chance.
Yes, he's Chance.
Camp Chance. Well,
I'm Camp Chance.
We're gonna make Team Chance shirts. Camp Chance. Camp Chance shirts.
Camp Chance shirts.
That'll be our next shirts that we make after the shirt that says "Did Zach hike the AT?" and then after the shirt that says "When life gives you lemons."
We have a lot of shirt ideas and no shirts.
Yeah, that's how it should be. great. If you could hike with anyone for a day, who would it be?
Anyone. Oh, I know it's supposed to be rapid fire. Let's see.
There's this one ultra runner named Rob Krar. Super nice guy. I'd love to hike with him. Just it'd be great. Super chill dude.
Cool.
When were you closest to quitting?
I know the exact moment. It was 8 miles south of Roan Mountain. I was completely out of water. My stomach was feeling terrible. There's no views. It was all smoke fire. And I sat down by the junction of the trail and I was like, I am kind of over this.
That's a shame. That's such a beautiful section. I forgot. Obviously you went through it when there were fires.
Yeah, that was the most down I've felt. I never felt like I was really going to quit, but that was like a time where I was like, yeah, this is not fun right now.
Interesting.
I'm kind of over it.
What is something that no one knows about you?
No one knows about me. Pretty open guy, so God, it's tough. I only ate grilled cheese and peanut butter jelly for like the first 15 years of my life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
I was the most picky eater. I normally don't talk about it, but yeah, I just ate grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but earlier in the episode, you said that you were a pretty good runner at an early age. So
yes.
Maybe there's something to grilled cheese and peanut butter as like being like the ideal runner's diet.
It might be the ultimate fuel.
So what happens if you only eat?
Dibs on this one. You can have lemons.
Do you eat the butts of your bread?
Oh, always.
Ew.
What's the strangest song on your iPod? Chance wrote this, by the way. Does anyone still have an iPod?
Sorry, I think the homeless guy's back.
What's going on, buddy? we're recording, but you're fine. Come on in. No, come on in. This is the point of the show where we should mention that today's show is being recorded at Wayfinder in Denver, Colorado.
Colorado.
Remember that time where I couldn't say my own trail name?
The 51st state.
Bader. Denver, Colorado. We are in the Santa Fe district where sometimes homeless people come in and other times actual members come in. So today was the latter, fortunately.
So a song.
The strangest song.
Yeah. So I have this, honestly, I don't even remember the name. It came up on my Spotify discovery. It's a Scottish bagpipe song. That's probably like 5 minutes long. Kind of started out as a joke. I'd play it in the car with my friends. And now whenever I'm running, it comes on. I just let it play.
That's how you hit a 30-mile run. You listen to Scottish bagpipes.
Yeah.
I could see that as being...
That's a secret.
Energizing or at least aggravating.
It surprises you for sure because it's definitely an outlier in my music library.
Interesting. What's your go-to music? I'm going to guess hip-hop based on the way you said it, hunted.
You know, it depends what mood I'm in. So I like a lot of old Shaky Graves, Jose Gonzalez.
Is there old Shaky Graves? I thought they were, I mean, like I've only learned of them in the last couple of years.
Roll the Bones, my favorite one. I love that album. It's great. But yeah, I definitely listen to Ye. I've been listening to a lot of ASAP Rocky's latest album.
What do you think of Kanye's newest album?
I listened to it, like, I was in Chicago this last weekend, and I probably listened to it, like, 10 times. Yeah, it's solid. Okay. The samples are on point. Uh-huh. Nothing touches Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy for me.
I've only listened to the album one time through. That's all I could do. And this is coming from a Kanye fan.
Yeah.
But his insanity of late has kind of turned me off a little bit. All right, next question, Chance.
What is the piece of gear you absolutely can't go without?
Piece of gear I can't go without. Baseball cap that I start every trail with. If I lost that hat, I don't know what I'd do. I start the trail with a hat from wherever I start. I keep it the whole way.
And I'm going to wrap it up here. Your most embarrassing moment on trail?
Most embarrassing moment on trail? Gosh. I don't even know. Oh, it's probably a duty story, to be honest.
Yes.
Not the best one. But definitely.
Gotcha. I knew this was finally coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was on the PCT and it just something hit me. I had to go so bad. And I was on a ridge, like an open ridge, and I couldn't do anything. And yeah, I had to crawl up the hill and, you know, do my thing. And then there was so many hikers that went by and I tried to hide and then I like fell down the hill and it was so embarrassing.
Were your pants down when you fell?
They were like, they were being pulled up at that point, but
so they were not up.
No, they were not fully up. Everyone knew what I was doing. But it was just one of those things where I was just like, it happens. And they were like, it does. And I remember I hiked on and I made sure I didn't ever see them again. I was so embarrassed.
So I hiked 60 miles the second half of that
That's
day.
One of the days he ran.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was probably the most embarrassing.
Well, at least you don't even have the most embarrassing poop story of this conversation.
I don't. I felt, you know, a little more comfortable sharing that one.
That's the only one you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
And it was only because it was that good.
I think there was another poop story, right?
That was on a bonus episode.
Oh. You didn't give one during the second episode?
The only one I gave was the bonus episode.
I feel like it's worse because it wasn't on through hiking, like trail life. It was like semi-real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a new boyfriend. Yeah.
I get it. I'm ashamed.
At least he asked you when it wasn't the other way around. That would have, I think, made it worse. You knew that, you know, you held some of the cards, right?
Not after that, I don't think.
That's true. You lost all of those cards after you recovered in your own feces.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for Keep It 100. This is, I think that's kind of a cool segment.
Yeah, we'll have to do Keep It 200. I love
that
segment.
That was a good segment. That's really great.
Yeah, maybe we'll wait till our next 100,000 downloads sometime in 2021. All right, John's got really excited there and typed in 5-star reviews. This is literally, no, Chance only shows up for this part of the episode. She hates the intro. She definitely hates the interview. She hates when I talk about the website, but she shows up for the 5-star reviews.
Is that why you keep it at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
I stay.
If we started off the show with the 5-star reviews, it would just be you and I. Our first 5-star review is from Sessa 2019. Is that how you say S-E-S-S-A?
Sessa.
Sounds right. And the title is Favorite Podcast. And she said it with an exclamation point. So I'm going to say, Favorite Podcast! That sounded more exclamation
right? It did, cool. Yeah.
I can't stop listening to you guys and your banter. Your podcast came along just at the right time, and I haven't stopped listening since. I'd like to plan a short thru hike for 2019, something that could be done in 30 days or less. Wondering if you guys have any suggestions for a beginner thru hiker. Also, did Zach hike the A team? Please answer. I must know. The suspense is killing me. Well, to answer your question, I did hike the AT in 2011. Let me get my drink here.
Oh, look, your drink's empty.
As it tends to be. She's looking for a hike that she could do in 30 days or less.
Colorado Trail?
I'm going to say the Colorado Trail is the perfect one. I think the average length for that is about a month.
Come hang.
Superior Hiking Trail is pretty great too.
You've done the Superior Hiking Trail?
I haven't. I've had a couple
What's
friends
the Superior
do it,
Hiking
they
Trail?
Love it.
That's through Michigan. Superior, Lake Superior.
I knew that. I just wanted more context.
Yeah. Michigan or Minnesota? No, I'm questioning myself.
I feel like it's Minnesota.
Okay, Minnesota.
I'm not 100%
Yeah,
sure.
I had a brain fart moment right there.
You guys, you're really good at recommending trails. You don't even know what state it's in.
Minnesota. Yeah, one of those M states. To be honest with you, I haven't researched much of this. I'm from the Midwest, so I know what it has to offer. But yeah, I mean, I've hiked the Colorado Trail, and it's a great trail. The one piece of advice I would offer to people, and I think a lot of people get this wrong, not wrong, they're anxious to get going with it, is that they start as soon as the snow melts out, as soon as you can do the entire trail without, you know, having to deal with treacherous snow at the passes. And that's a mistake because that's in the heart of thunderstorm season, as this guy knows. Yeah. You're pretty much guaranteed a very dangerous thunderstorm experience on most afternoons at high elevations in Colorado, which is the heart of thunderstorm season is like June, early July, would you say?
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, wait till the latter half of July, even wait till August. Like if you're going to do it in a month, the weather will be fine through early September, in most years. mentioned this in previous podcasts, but Job and I started in the San Juans in the like the middle of September and had perfect weather throughout. You can't always bank on that, but that's my two cents on the Colorado Trail. John, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I guess I'll know when it happens.
Cool. And Data really highly recommends the Superior Trail, which is not in Michigan.
All right, so this one, I can't read the full title, but it says, distracts me from the Minota, which I assume says monotony, but I don't know of what or if that's just it. And it's by Mountain Kitty.
Oh, I have it on my computer. You're looking on your phone. I'm going to read the full title. Oh, distracts me from the monotony of Virginia.
Ooh, now I know. Zach and Chance never fail to make me lol at the most random, perfect times, like during this never-ending climb in the middle of Virginia. That makes sense. Whenever I need a distraction from the green tunnel, you guys are right up there with the yin-yang twins.
Ooh, that's high praise.
I identify on a personal level with Juliana's love for chocolate. Girl, I just ate my third Twix bar and it's only 10 a.m. I like her already. Still waiting on proof that Zach actually hiked the AT, though.
Hmm. How does one prove? Actually,
don't... You should probably write a book about it. That's pretty good proof.
Mm-hmm. Although, I won't go there. Well, thanks, Mountain Kitty. That was a very nice review.
Yeah.
Should we do one more?
Yeah.
Do you want it? Favorite part of the show.
You should do this one.
Okay. Ooh, this is a long one.
I know. That's why I made you do it.
Jesus.
Go on.
And this is where it's discovered that Zach can't really read. So the title, or this is written by The Sherb, and the title is Buffer Music, 3 Degrees of Separation, and Through Hike Dreams. Absolutely love the podcast. I'm a 53-year-old firefighter in Florida. Like most people my age, I'm not in a position to take 4 to 6 months off for a through hike, but over a few years, I have sectioned nearly 500 of the AT, a couple hundred of the Florida Trail, and done the LTH.
L2H.
I was just tripped up because I don't know what that is.
I think it's the lowest to highest route.
So as I near retirement, the flames to do a through hike, probably the PCT, get stoked more every day, especially thanks to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Chapter two.
I love the hiking info given by the Cinnamon Connection. I like that. And guess, but it's the banter that keeps me coming back. Stories, inside jokes, tangents, and PBR. Actually, I'm drinking PBR right now. It's like we're sitting around a campfire after a 20-mile day or at a bar in town on a zero. Everything about it is an A+, right down to the buffer music at the show opening. Although at the time he wrote that, we had a different opening song. This is the call that we need your guys' feedback as to which of these intro songs you like better.
Oh, yeah. Send us an email to podcast@thetrek.co.
Do you have a personal preference, Chance?
Yeah, I love Walking Slow.
Did you listen to the most recent podcast? I'm putting you on the spot now because you said you listened to all of them. So
yeah. Did you listen?
Is it the interviews or the trail?
Not the trail.
There was an interview on it.
One of our the normal shows.
Yeah. Who's that last guest?
Episode 11, Katie.
Oh, wait, Gerber. No. He's off the hook because it's a podcast that we haven't released yet.
No, I put Walking Slow at the beginning of Katie's.
We put it at the end of Katie's.
Ooh, you're
so
right.
So you'd have to listen to the very end of the show to know.
All right, Zach, you took us on a tangent for nothing.
So
continue.
This was a useless tangent. Where am
Chapter
I?
Chapter three.
Everything. Okay. I'm a tad disappointed, though, because I had visions of Chance playing drums while Badger did the guitar. If anything, it's backwards because I play the drums and the guitar.
My piano teacher when I was younger told me I was rhythmically challenged. So no drums for me.
A simple Shazam told me otherwise. On the bright side, I now have a cool ringtone and really love the EP, A Good Look by Private Island. This is a song by Private Island. We don't have to say that because we paid for the rights to that song. That was the one professional thing that we've done in this entire podcast.
We should make them pay us. Someone set it as a ringtone.
I guess, we're giving them a free advertisement. Yeah. I mean, we chose it because it's a good song.
Yeah.
So check out Private Island.
Chapter four.
Lastly, one more reason to like and support the show. Cinnamon level, by the way. Oh, thanks, The Sherb.
is Zach and I are part of some weird degree of separation thing. He did some trail magic on the AT at Garenflow Gap, I believe, in 2015. That is 100% correct. My then 23-year-old thru-hiking son named Fozzie, I remember this.
This is why I made you read it.
Happened to mention that he had never done a keg stand. Hilarity ensued, and somewhere on the internet for all eternity is my number two offspring keg standing in his pack chugging brown ale. Wow, he's got alarming detail. It's enough to warm a dad's soul. Keep up the great work. Look forward to the next episode. All right, I have a new favorite 5-star review.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that one.
Thank you.
Can you tell us that story before we go?
No, because the things he mentioned are not something that I would condone for other trail magicians, but I will say that hypothetically, a friend of mine did trail magic where he reached out to a brewery in Asheville, mentioning that he was going to do trail magic for a large group of thru hikers. I kind of just pulled it out of my ass. I didn't know if it was going to be big. and that I was going to be posting it on the website, then appalachiantrials.com. So they donated a keg of beer. It was brown ale. He's correct. And we ended up getting like 60 hikers coming through. And it was funny because so we showed up with a keg and that there's already someone there set up doing trail magic. And the person is there from their local church. or this is what my friend told me. And yeah, things got weird. Things got weird. I've since calmed down my trail magic thing. Like I just did trail magic a very small session of it when I went back, and I didn't bring any alcohol, you know, trying to be a good influence, unlike you, Johns. But yeah, no, back in the day, kegs and handles of tequila may or may not have been involved. That my friend brought.
Right.
Of course.
Highly a responsible friend.
Yeah, this guy that I don't associate with anymore. He's
sounds
dead.
Like a ginger.
The person we're talking about was unmarried, and I'm a married person, so different people.
You're just oozing responsibility.
Where's my beer? So that does it for today's episode. If you'd like to give us any feedback, you can reach us at podcast@thetrek.co. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so through our Patreon page, patreon.com/backpackerradio, which is where you get access to our future bonus shows. Don't worry, Data will give you the lowdown on who won the Cinnamon Connection, but only because you're a guest. That's a privilege for guests.
I appreciate it.
And people who donate at least $1 per month. You can follow us. Instead of playing charades, why don't you just say what you want to say?
You can leave a 5-star review on iTunes.
Oh yeah. If you want to be a part of Chance's favorite part of this entire show.
I love this part because I listen to podcasts at work and I refresh them to like whatever. And I like seeing the number go up of reviews and then I can read a new one at work. It's really nice when that happens.
I'm going to go ahead and say that your trail name should be Data and Data's trail name should be Chance, just to keep it because we can't kill a trail name.
Can't Chance reporting for duty.
Yeah. So yeah, if you'd like, it helps us for you to leave a review on the show. It especially helps us to leave a 5-star review and we will read it on air probably. If you'd like to follow us on the social medias, you can do so on Instagram @BackpackerRadio, on Twitter @BackpackerPod, on Facebook, just search Backpacker Radio. You can follow me personally. I am ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter, and don't find me on Facebook because I don't really use it.
You can find me on Instagram @Juliana_Chauncey and on YouTube @JulianaChauncey.
Data?
You can find me on Instagram @HarveyJH.
Data is a firm opponent to Facebook because we always post the thru-hiker meetups on Facebook. And I don't think you didn't come to like the third or fourth one. I'm like, dude, why didn't you come to the first couple? You're like, I didn't know there were first couple. I'm like, dude, I invited you on Facebook. He's like, I haven't been on Facebook in 6 months. is there anything else before we leave the show?
I feel like that's it.
That feels like it's it. All right. If it feels like that's it, then that's it. Happy hiking, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Just kidding. The show's not over yet because we made a level on our Patreon page, which is if you donate, what is the amount? $25 per month. You get a special shout out somewhere in the podcast.
It's here.
It's called the Chuck Norris Award. And there are two people who are part of it. Oddly enough, one of them is Sawyer,
thanks,
which is also our sponsor. So they're just killing it.
And do you want to take a shot at pronouncing this other one?
Evaristo Villela. Villela?
Villela?
Villela.
Villela. Villela.
Villela.
I bet you guys are pretty happy that you're still listening to the show. Okay, we're really going to go now. Bye.
Bye. I've yet to go. I've never been home.